DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Father Larry Richards, who is a dynamic teacher, preacher, author, and retreat master who serves as the pastor of an inner city parish. Father Larry is founder and president of the Reason for Our Hope Foundation, which is dedicated to educating others about Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. He is also the author of Be a Man, a best-selling book on male spirituality. And Father Larry Richards can be heard regularly on Catholic radio around the country. With Father Larry Richards, we go inside the pages of Surrender, the Life-Changing Power of Doing God's Will, published by Our Sunday Visitor. Father Larry Richards, welcome back.
Hi, Chris McGregor. Good to be back.
How exciting for all of us, Surrender, the Life-Changing Power of Doing God's Will. As a woman, I'm very excited about having this book out from you.
Exactly. It's for everybody, this one. It's just not for the men. But even though a man the other day he called me and says, Father, this one's, you kick us harder than you did in Be a Man. I go, oh, come on.
That's okay. Kick us to heaven, Father.
It was, exactly. And I said, I'm not kicking you. I'm just a little challenging. That's all. It's just, and it wasn't even that. It's just like, our whole life is about surrendering to Jesus Christ. That's all. And when we do that, we have full life. We have full freedom. We have freedom from fear and all these things that control us. And so I say this is the greatest thing and the core of all everything we need to do when we come to Jesus.
Amen. I mean, it's having a relationship with Him first and foremost, isn't it?
And again, relationship, like I say, is about a person. It's not just about a religion or rules. And so often, we're just about, oh, I have to be a good person and I got to obey all the rules. You got to be in love with Jesus. That's what it is. It's not either or, it's both and. You know, we don't say, well, you don't do take care of the rules, that they're not important. Well, of course they're important. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. So it's, again, it's a both, but you enter into this relationship, huh? Even this last week at Mass, you know, at the end of the thing, he says, get away from me because I never knew you. So the reality is we need to be in this relationship so that we know Him and that He knows us.
Oh, but if you're in relationship with Jesus, you have to do one very big thing, and I think that's the title of the book.
Exactly.
You've got to surrender.
And people hate the they say, Father, again, every time I pick a title for a book, they go, oh, Father, do we have to call it that? Yes, we got to call it that. You know, and I said, the purpose of glory, because people are afraid of surrender because they think it's a giving up, and it's not a giving up, it's an embracing. It's a Mary's fiat, let it be done to me. It's, I want what you want more than anything I could ever want. It's a desire. It's a life affirming thing. It's not like, okay, I have to surrender. I have nothing else to do. I might as well give it up all now. Well, stop that. That's not what it's about at all.
It's hard to know what to surrender.
Well, it begins with our time, really. I mean, we say we give a God, you know, too many people, oh, I give Jesus my heart. Well, how do you prove that? If you're not giving Him time every day, then you're not surrendering everything to Him. Again, you never fit God into your day. You must build your day around God. That means we must have daily prayer time. And in our prayer time, we just don't say a bunch of words. I mean, think about any relationship. If you just said a bunch of words, that wouldn't be a very good relationship. You listen to God. So I tell people they have to have at least 5 minutes a day, you know, 5 minutes a day with the Lord. And while they're there with that 5 minutes, they listen to the Lord, too. You know, you need both. Again, not either or, but both and. And again, the best way to do that, if you're a hard listener, if you can't listen well, is to go to the Word of God every day, and God will speak to you every day.
What happens when you actually do? What is it you're going to hear?
Again, who knows? Every day will be a different thing. That's the point. But almost always, it'll be you're going to have to die to yourself, and you're going to have to do what I want today. But, so we sit there, and we look at that, and we think, well, then it's going to be hard. Well, of course it's going to be hard, but at the same time, it's going to be life-giving. And see, I think that's the biggest thing, that when we give everything to Him, that we do have to go to the cross. You know, again, Galatians 2:19 or 20, depending on what scripture you have. I have been crucified with Christ. The life I live now is no longer my own. Jesus lives inside of me. So it's a free, He gave His life for us, so we give our life for Him. And we prove that by saying, okay, God, the first thing you're worth more than anything every day, the only thing I have, the same that everybody else has, is time. And so this time, which I have, the same one everybody else has, I give to you. And you give Him at least those 5 minutes. And you start there, and then He can start speaking to you and telling you what He wants you to do every day. And sometimes it'll be something as simple as, you know, you haven't talked to your neighbor because they hurt you. I want you to go to forgive them and start talking to them. Oh, I don't think so, Jesus. And yes, mm-hmm. I think so. This is what I want. You know, and so it's a different, because most people when they pray, it's, Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, my will be done, please bless it, mm-hmm. if we prayed what we meant. But it isn't that. It's your will be done. So then God says, okay, excuse me, this is what I want you to do today. And every day he's going to tell you something different because he's in charge. And so it's a different way of living your life.
It is very hard oftentimes because he also tells us to forgive and forgive and forgive.
Yep. The day of gospel, if you go to daily mass, was how many times must I forgive my brother? Or not, it was the forgive. They come up, they hurt you seven times, and then they come and ask you forgiveness seven times, and you must forgive them. And again, forgiveness is about us, of course, because then we're just like Jesus. But it frees us. Huh? When you don't forgive, like I tell people when I'm doing a parish mission, I say, I got it from C.S. Lewis, we must forgive one another or be damned. Because reality is, God says, if you don't forgive, then I cannot forgive you. So a person really can be damned for all eternity because they didn't do any sins, they didn't do any stuff, but they held and they refused to forgive just one person. So that's why, again, this isn't, like I said this morning at Mass, I said, this isn't my words, this is the words of Almighty God. God said, if you forgive, then I'll forgive. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. That's what he taught us after we said our Lord's Prayer. And so we say the Lord's Prayer every day, and we say, God, okay, God, you forgive me the way I forgive others. Now, forgiveness, of course, is an act of the will, that I choose to forgive. That doesn't mean the feelings go along with it. It doesn't mean you okay anything the person's done. And it doesn't mean that they ask for forgiveness. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. Nobody there was asking for forgiveness, and yet he was forgiving them all. And so when we do the same thing, that's when we're most like Jesus Christ. And it's the hardest thing we do, I think, as a Christian. But it's the most necessary thing we do. And that, again, if we can't do it by our own power, we surrender, and the Lord will do it through us.
Sometimes we have to deal with the fact that some of the unforgiveness we have has been stored away in a closet because we don't want to go there. Because it hurts us 2 months to remember something that was done to us in high school or maybe even by our parents.
And that's where you go with them. When that happens, you don't go there alone. You go there with Jesus. You know, I like to tell people to go through a series of, in their prayer, you go to that hard time, and you see Jesus there, and he's there with you, and he holds you through it. And then he covers you with his blood in one hand, and then he takes the other hand, and he puts it over the person that's hurting you, and he covers them with his blood also, that you both are the same now before Christ. He doesn't okay it, but you don't go through it alone. And then, when you do that, you now fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, as St. Paul says, because you're uniting yourself with Jesus and his suffering on the cross. And that's the only way to the resurrection, is when we go through that pain, when we go through that cross, then we get to experience the great joy and the great resurrection he has for all of us.
I'll let you talk about Mother Teresa.
Well, and again, when it comes to Mother, that when she fully surrendered, she could give away her life every day. And think about it. Mother, for 50 years, she only had 5 weeks of consolation. Think about it. So every time she went to prayer, except for 5 weeks in 50 years, mm-hmm. she felt nothing. And so, but she kept giving away her life every day. And again, when so often people go and they say, Father, I'm having a dry spot, or I don't feel like doing this. And I say, Christianity and love has nothing to do with how you feel. It's the commitment of laying down your life. Often when a person goes to pray and they get all this consolation, they're like, oh, how God loves me. Well, of course, but you're still young. As you grow older in the faith, and all the saints say the same thing, he calls you to, do you love me for what I do for you, or do you love me for me? And so when you go to prayer and you feel nothing, as she did, then you love him for who he is, not for what he does for you. And then that transforms our love, and then we can then lay down our life for others. And again, there are some people in our lives we can't love. It's just, you know, there are people we like and people we don't like. So again, our job then is to surrender and say, Lord, I can't love them. I just can't. But you can. So Lord, use me to love them and let me get out of the way. And again, that takes a surrendering heart. And that's why it's a day in, day out thing. Because we're human, of course, but we're not only human. We have Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, living inside of us by definition of being baptized. So our job is to show them Jesus and to love others as Jesus does because he's inside of us.
Of course, we're talking with Father Larry Richards, the author of Surrender, The Life-Changing Power of Doing God's Will. And doing His will. And you said, not our will, but His. But trying to discern. That's the key word today, isn't it? Discernment.
It is. And that's what the whole book was originally about. They asked me to do a book on my CD called Knowing God's Will. And too often, when people are looking for discernment, they almost go into superstitious stuff, like, oh, Teresa, Lesue, send me a rose to show me which way to go, which is fine, but God wants more than that. So out of the seven chapters, it isn't until chapter six that I start, this is how you discern practically, and I say, listen, if you're starting here, shame on you. Get to back, go to the beginning and start at the beginning, because it falls out of a relationship and a listening heart discernment. It isn't like, okay, you're doing whatever you're doing it your way, and all of a sudden, okay, God, show me a sign, send me a rose, what do you want me to do? It's kind of like, he says, haven't you been talking to me? I've been trying to tell you this, but you haven't been listening. So, okay, you want a sign. And so we see our sign, and God does give in and give us signs sometimes, but then it doesn't let us go deeper in relationship with Him. It just like, okay, I got a sign, so I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to do that. But again, if you have a daily committed prayer time, if you have daily time, you're listening to the Lord, you don't need signs because He'll whisper it to your heart and then you'll know. And the way you find out, the way you discern anything ultimately is in His will is our peace. By definition, every Christian should have peace in their heart. If they don't have peace, then you look at two things. One, you're in mortal sin, so you need to confess and get out of that. But if you go make a good confession, you still don't have peace, well, it's usually a sign from God that you're not doing His will. So what you need to do is you need to focus and listen and spend time with Him so He can tell you what He wants. And you can tell when you're doing His will because finally it clicks, bing, and everything falls into place. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Huh? Like, it works, like it clicks for me being a priest. I love being a priest. The fruit is there. I love it more and more every day. But there's days where it's not an easy reality. It's a hard thing. But it's still, this is what I was created for. And so everyone was created for a particular purpose, whether it's being married, whether it's being single, whether it's about to have 10 kids, who knows, be a nun, be a priest, whatever it is. God has every single person. There is a particular will for that person. And their job, is, before they were ever created, it was already done before God. God will let them do anything they want. But they'll only have peace when they click and live what they were created for, because then they fit, and that's the whole purpose.
And each chapter is just phenomenal because you take us through all those different steps and you never leave us orphaned. Of course, you give us steps to surrender our lives and then prayers to help us through it.
And because it has to be a practical thing, I think. So often when any kind of Catholic author and that, sometimes we just make things, we give you nice thoughts on things. And for me, nice thoughts don't do it. Tell me how to live, Father. Tell me what I need to do. And so that's why everything, it's pretty specific. This is helps you on steps along the spiritual life. Do these basic things. And again, there's steps there. And some of the prayers from all the various different people are there to help us, because some people need to be able to put their own personal prayer in a context. So that's what the prayers are there for.
Some of the items that you bring forward, I think, are just stopped me as I was reading it, and I just had to really ponder it. And that image you gave of what happens when we surrender, for the example of we're in a burning building and we have to jump, and there's all this smoke, and we hear the Father calling us, "You got to jump. I'm going to catch you."
Yeah.
But isn't that what we feel today, Father?
It is. Fear is the number one thing, I think, in everyone's life. We live in fear so often, and Jesus says so many times, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. But we have to make that jump. And, you know, when we're afraid, it's because we're looking at ourselves and we're not trusting our Father. But when we have to make that surrender, that jump, that act of faith, you know, there's a line that says, faith isn't faith until there's nothing left to hold on to. You know that, okay, you're going to have to make this jump of faith where you just commit everything. And again, there's nothing left to hold on to. But once you do it, now you have that peace. Now you truly start living life. Huh? And so but I think people are afraid of that because, again, we're so used to taking care of ourselves, and we think that we're in control. But that's the biggest lie there ever was. We can't even control our next breath. We can't even take it without God saying, okay, I'll give you your next breath now. And then we go, okay, so that's so when we play that game that I'm in control of all things, the reality is you are not, and that's the point. So just deal with the reality and surrender to someone who is in control of everything, including your next breath.
One of the helps that you give us, and I think it's that 4 points, the daily Bible, daily baths, daily offering, Eucharistic adoration, many of those involve silence.
Absolutely. It's the core. You know, again, for those of us who are older, we all know who made me. God made me. Why did God make me? He made me to know him, love him, and serve him so I can be happy with him forever in heaven. And then the Word of God tells us, well, how do I get to know God? Psalm 46, verse 10 or 11, again, depending on your scripture, it says, be still and know that I am God. So in our daily life, we need stillness. We need a listening heart. And again, I tell 1,000 times, I was in Fort Myers, Florida this past weekend, speaking to 900 high school kids. I told them the same thing. I said, you're going to have to learn now while you're young to be still. Huh? This weekend, I'll be in Ireland and Dublin. I'm going to speak to 1,000 kids on Saturday and a bunch of men for a men's conference on Sunday. And again, my big thing is, listen, you're going to have to be still. And I'm going to teach you how to be still. Before you do that, that means you have to have a listening heart. So I tell the big thing about keeping the Bible next to your bed. Before you get out of bed in the morning, you sit there and you pray the Holy Spirit and you read the Word of God. You open the Word of God and you read it until God takes a 2x4 and whacks you over the head. And then be still, stop, listen, respond. Put it on a piece of paper if you want. When you put that on a little piece of paper, you can carry it out throughout the day. Huh? This morning when I went to the Word of God, and I'm early in the morning before I got out of bed, I prayed, and he took me to John chapter 8, verse 31, and it says, if you live in my word, then you will be my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So this morning, the Lord says, I want you to live in my word. I want you to live, know my words. And if you do that, then you're going to be free because you're going to know truth. And again, when we watch TV, when we watch all this garbage, when we read the paper, most of it is not truth. It's garbage and it's bad news. Mm-hmm. When we embrace Christ every morning and read well in his word, we become free because he's telling us the truth. And boy, there's such freedom in truth.
It's time now, isn't it, Father, for those of us who are Catholics and American in particular to really embrace him. I mean, there was a time where there was a lot of apologetics and we got through the door of the church. But now that we're there and we're confronted with his message, and we see a crucifix there, don't we?
Because, again, it's a giving of everything. And again, as you said, it has to be an embrace of him. Because he is the truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So, you know, one of the biggest concerns I've had in the church in these last couple of years is I have seen a great ultra-orthodoxy out there. You know, that we're very right, and we're right, and everybody else is wrong, and don't you say that, I'll really get you, you're not speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, except that that truth has no love. And if there's truth with no love, that's Phariseeism. The Pharisees were 100% true and about don't disobey any of the commandments, these are the commandments. But they never had love for God or for others. And we need to have both and again, that I need to be willing to die for the truth that's been revealed to us through the Catholic faith. But I got to do it and preach it with love. And when I come to Jesus, it's not just about obeying him, it's about loving him. And I love him because I obey him. And that's the whole reality. So in the midst of all this and the ultra orthodoxy, which is there, which is good in itself, but it has to go deeper to the ultra love that expresses itself in orthodoxy. And so I think that we're really growing, and these are the pains that are coming. But so some people are just, I think because people are reacting for so many years, the church was so la 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 la, and now they're going the opposite extreme. No, this is the truth. Okay, we got to find a balance here, people of God. We're going to be loving and true at the same time. Again, the Word of God says, "Speak the truth in love."
I love when you brought forward as well that when we have those times when we're not sure, we're struggling, and we're just feeling as though God is picking on us, and that what you do is you provide service to others. I mean, that's the Lord, but that's also the teachings of the saints. I'm recalling Teresa of Avila in the Interior Castle. When you're not sure, get up and go do something for someone else.
Absolutely, and in the process, you're dying to self. Again, the crucifix is, here am I, the God of the universe, who gives my life for you. And every day, we got to think about, who are you calling me to die for today, Jesus? And again, we do that every day, every day, every day. And every day, see, like I often use the example about when I became a priest and I took my vow of celibacy. I thought I was doing God a favor. Now, my spirits director always used to tell me, and he still does, he says, Larry, you do realize you're not doing God a favor by being a priest. Thank you, Father. You know, because sometimes we get our own thing. Look at all the things I'm doing for God. And, oh, if I give God this, he's going to take away more than I could ever want. Well, again, when I took my vow of celibacy, I thought I wasn't going to be able to have any kids. Well, the next day, God gave me 160 of them, and he has given me thousands of kids throughout the world now. Mm-hmm. I could have got married and had my 10, but he decided, well, first of all, he didn't want me to have little Larrys running around. He says, Larry, you're the last one. That's it. No more of you. And then he sat there, but he gave me more than I could ever imagine. That whenever we give ourselves away, God is always more generous than we could ever imagine. I always say to people, you really think you could be more generous than God? You really think that if you die to this little thing of yours, you die to something else, that you're going to really end up with less than you gave? That's a lie. When you and I die, when we give, do that every day, God blesses that and we bear fruit a thousandfold. But we have to do that first to experience the fruit.
Mm. What is different for surrender for a male as opposed to a female?
I think in some ways it's easier for women for them to surrender. You know, it's an easier, they have a spirit that's, not always, but a spirit that's more open to that. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Men, no. You know, it's like sometimes they have to be hit over the head before they're willing to surrender because they think, they see surrender as a weakness. And again, for both things, but I think it's just a harder reality for guys to learn. And because they see it as weakness. And my thing is, no, you have to see it as strength. Like, again, I use the example for men that how do you become a man? A lot of guys, for them to become a man, they want to go to the service. And when they go to the service, they're put through boot camp. And when they're put through boot camp, it is not an easy thing. These people kill you. But when you come out the other side, now you're a man, huh? And so I always say it's like a spiritual boot camp when you come to Jesus. He's going to break you down, but it's only to make you stronger, huh? So it's men, I always say, are more wild at heart. Now, there are women that are wild at heart, too. You know, Teresa Avila was wild at heart. You know? You let her read her stuff. She was not a very passive person. So, again, I think it's both struggle with it, but men struggle with it for in a different way than a woman would.
Now, Father Larry, what's been difficult for so many in those who are seeking to walk closer and they're trying to find those mechanisms, and they need to go to Christ Jesus, of course, absolutely. But they've been listening to some voices in the church as well who have been powerful figures, but who have fallen.
Sure.
And it's from that lack of another word we don't like, and that's obedience.
Absolutely, obedience. And that's what I say. Everything has been an obedience issue. But it's obedience in us who are the speakers, but it's obedience in the people who are listening to. Like I always tell people, don't you ever, 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 ever look at me and think I'm something. I'm nothing. It's Jesus you have to. The only thing any good speaker can do is point the way to Jesus Christ. Because if not, when the speaker falls, as has happened, then a lot of people's faith goes down. Mm-hmm. And I say, because you put your stuff in the wrong person. That person should have only been pushing and pointing towards Jesus. Not to themselves, but of course, people naturally are attracted to certain people. But again, my big thing is pushing to Jesus, pushing to Jesus, pushing to Jesus. But if not, or, you know, the core of all sin is pride.
Mm-hmm.
And when people start listening and believing what the world says about them instead of what Jesus says about them, that's mm-hmm. when you can become a problem. Because every time you go before God, God looks at you and says, I love you very much. You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. But, you know, you think too much about yourself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell you the truth about who you are. And that's a good thing. And so, again, if a person that if, like, when I tell people to sit there and to spend time with the Word of God every day, I say, you should be listening to God more than you're listening to my tapes or to someone else's tapes. Well, Father, I love listening to your tapes, or I love listening to Father so-and-so's tapes. Or, well, that's very nice, but listen to Jesus first, because you have to be his disciple. And when you're his disciples, then when other things start falling in the humanity, like again, all people have clay feet. It's just reality. Huh? I always sit there and say, like with myself, I'm never going to be one by God's grace or whatever, any kind of sexual scandal or anything. My scandal will be something. I say something stupid and it'll be on the radio or be on YouTube and it'll be all over the world. Father Larry went and got angry at somebody and start yelling and screaming and it'll go all over because that's where my clay feet are. I have a temper and a half. So, but the reality is when you know that and you surrender that and you put it under the obedience of Jesus Christ, then, even in your weakness, he can transform it and bring it into strength.
Mm. What would you say to that person out there that says, well, I've trusted and I've surrendered and I've done what is will, and I'm on the verge of the brink of collapsing. Everything I have is about to fall apart.
Yeah.
What do you say to them, Father?
Well, again, that's when you just hold on to Jesus. Because, you know, Our Lady at Fatima says, she said to the children, I can never promise you happiness on earth. And if the Mother of God could not promise us happiness, neither can anybody else. She says, but I can promise you eternal happiness. And the only thing that, you know, Jesus, again, in His Word, He says, in the world you will have trouble. Huh? Mm-hmm. He promised, in the world you will have trouble. But then He says, but be confident, I have overcome the world. So, again, I think that the best way to do it is look at life through the eyes of eternity. That either that we live to be 120 or whatever it is, that's nothing compared to eternity. It's the first sentence of eternal life. And so we can either focus on ourselves and the pain and the struggle around us, or we can focus on Jesus. Again, I always think the devil keeps us focused on ourselves, and he keeps us focused on our past. Jesus says, you just focus on me, and you focus on the future. Because I'm going to get you through it. Huh? Now, this week, like in my parish, I've been dealing with so many people who have been dying. I have 3 funerals, 1 today and 2 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And when dealing with these people that have been dying, I can't give them, okay, now Jesus is going to come, and he's going to just going to heal you completely, and you're going to be walking out of this hospital. No, and I just anointed someone an hour ago, and I just says, don't be afraid. He's already waiting for you. You have nothing to be afraid of. You just look at Jesus, and you have eternal life waiting for you. So you got to watch your perspective. You can't look at yourself. You can't look at your past. You can't look at the storm around you. You got to look at Jesus, and you got to look at the future. And again, if he won't promise us happiness on earth, he never has, and he never will. He does promise us eternal happiness. And 100 billion years from now, when we're looking back at our time on earth, say, hey, remember when you had that suffering in your life? And you go, no, I don't. As a matter of fact, it's going to be nothing. So you got to have the eternal perspective on your lives.
Yeah, I think that quote, that great saint that you have been so beautiful in bringing it forward, is, again, Mother Teresa. She said that we're not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful.
Faithful. And again, we're called to be faithful to the person of Jesus. And, you know, no matter how dark it gets, if we know that we're never alone, that Jesus, you know, again, we have the God of the universe living inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of Almighty God. And that when we know that we're never alone, then Jesus promises we'll never be alone. And we can look at him, and he can give us his strength. He can give us his comfort. And that's all we can do sometimes, huh? Because there's, you know, gosh, as a priest, I deal with so many tragedies. You know, one of my good friends just lost their second child, newborn, very badly deformed. Horrible reality, and they're so faithful, daily mass goers and everything else, and yet this is what the Lord dealt with them. You know, and you say, what can you, Father, what can you tell us? All I can tell you is hold on. You know, it's all I can do, because life will never make sense from this side of eternity. It will never make sense. It'll only make sense on the other side of eternity.
So trust and do God's will, not your own.
Absolutely, just trust, and if you surrender to that, that's all you got left, huh? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we can only, all any of us can do is just surrender and, Lord, you're all I got. You know, it's why for me the greatest, one of the greatest devotions is the Divine Mercy. I must say, Jesus, I trust in you 1,000 times a day. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all I can do. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Mm-hmm. Father Larry Richards, I could sit and listen to you all day long, but I know you got a very busy schedule, and you've given us the beautiful gift of surrender, the life-changing power of doing God's will, to help us to make it through those times. Any final thoughts, Father?
Again, don't be afraid. Huh? As John Paul has said, the first thing, don't be afraid. God does not want us to live fear. He wants us to live in peace. So surrender and experience that peace.
Mm. Can we have your blessing, Father Larry?
Absolutely. Holy Father, great God of love, I ask your blessing upon everybody who hears this now. Bless them, protect them, and give them your peace. Give them the grace of full surrender. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Larry Richards, thank you so very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
With Father Larry Richards, we've gone inside the pages of Surrender, the life-changing power of doing God's will. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to osv.com. the website for its publisher, Our Sunday Visitor, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this episode along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.